back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about this one. I mean to say it, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, over the past month, I have introduced you to one of our newest sponsors, Inspire Advisors. Inspire Advisors. Look, did you know that as many of y'all are seeking to, you know, set aside for your retirement while also standing up for things you say you believe in, that many of the things you may be investing in could be actually contrary to biblical values in general? I mean, your investment dollars could actually be unintentionally supporting causes you just don't believe in, like abortion or pornography or human trafficking. I mean, it's just to name a few. So here's the deal. Inspire Advisors, our friend Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire, they are in specialists in the field of biblically responsible investing. It's a thing. They call it BRI, biblically responsible investing. So yeah, Paul and the folks at Inspire Advisors, they would love to offer you a free consultation. No strings attached. Just find out what's in your portfolio. And then if you find things you don't like, show you where there's some biblically aligned alternatives you might want to choose. So here's the deal. To learn more about BRI, contact Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors today. There's no harm, no foul, no cost even. It's a free deal. You can get an impact report. Their website is www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's moneypatternwealth.com. You can also go to our website, rightsidemedia.org. Just click on our Right Side Radio Sponsors tab, and bam, you can find their logo. It takes you straight to their website. Look, the bottom line is this. Call Paul and the folks over at Inspire Advisors. It's conservative, it's godly, it's balanced, it's financial freedom with Inspire Advisors. Check them out. All right, so we're going to jump on into the next part of the show here, the 25th Troubles. Let me just tell you that I think that they got a problem right now. We don't know what's going on with Biden. Here's what we do know. Nothing. We know a big fat nothing. We know what we saw before. We know the last time we really saw him was him barely making it up the steps into Air Force One, and he's not been seen since. He just resigned from running for president of the United States by tweet. Who does that? Maybe the person who does that is the person who is not capable of actually addressing the nation right now. If that's the case, we need to know it. I did notice a moment ago that Kamala Harris has flown to Delaware. Flown to Delaware. That would be where the president is right now, at Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. I don't know if she's going to go see him. I don't know what's up. But we deserve to know. This is our country. We are the ones at risk right now. We are the ones who deserve to know whether someone is at the helm. Even if we don't like their policies, who is at the helm? And it doesn't need to, granted, I know that every good president, every president, whether good or not, has a crew of people. You've got the entire, you know, national security team. You've got the entire economic advisor team. You got all of it. So yes, they are surrounded by people who are not supposed to be the ones who make the final call on things. So can they use the 25th Amendment? Wow. Can they use the 25th Amendment? The 25th Amendment was put into place in the few years immediately after the assassination of John F. Kennedy back in the 60s. I think it was 1967 before it was finally ratified by all the states. But the 25th Amendment allows for a replacement due to the incapacity of the current president. The requirement by law is that the vice president and half of the cabinet have to convene and address Congress in writing saying that the president is no longer capable of fulfilling the duties of the office and that in order to prevent a constitutional crisis, the vice president would assume the role. That's constitutional authority right there. You don't get to do it by tweet. You don't get to do it by de facto. You don't get to run around and say, I'm the nominee. I raised $81 million. Oh, by the way, the real president's a vegetable right now, but it's okay. I'm going to be the nominee. You don't get to do that. So here's the problem they got. The 25th trouble they've got right now is not only is the 25th Amendment really the nuclear option, it really is. It just is. It's a nuclear option on what to do with a president who is on the borderline of functionality. He has not been shot and rendered unconscious. He is not comatose. He has not been adjudged, which is, by the way, an adjudication of incompetency. He claims to be okay. His family claims he's okay. He's just stepping down for the good of the country, which is a purely political reason, which is also a problem. So Vice President Harris, if she invokes the 25th Amendment, it's like saying, hey, I'm running for president, but never mind the fact that I knew all along and I had to invoke the 25th. If she goes up there to his house right now and finds that things are bad and, you know, there's craziness happening and she has to do something now because of a new thing, well, that's going to be a spin, brother. I'm going to tell you right now. But that's the only way I can see them invoking the 25th Amendment with any sense of credibility. That does not immediately, and it'll be suspect no matter what. So that right now the intent is Biden says he's going to ride out his term. Well, now, how do we know? He told us in a tweet. He says he'll address the nation later this week. You step down from running for president and you'll get with us later? Hey, by the way, not going to be president. Send that to you in a text message. Whoop, whoop. Catch you later. You do coffee? That's not the way this works. Not at all. Jonathan Turley wrote a great piece in thehill.com. Came out yesterday afternoon. Oh, we got a caller. Man, I am so sorry. I'm just sitting here just running on. Is Jeff from Indiana on the line? Let me get Jeff real quick. Jeffro, I'm just talking away, brother. And all of a sudden, Big Rig's looking at me like, you going to take the call? How you doing?
I'm enjoying the conversation. Hey, do you think Joe Biden even knows how to tweet? I guarantee he wasn't the one who wrote that.
No, I'm pretty sure somebody on his, you know, college aged group of folks that run his media said, this will be cool. We'll do it on Twitter. Okay.
I'm kind of picturing him laying there in one of Michael Jackson's oxygen chambers there, you know, like he's in suspended animation or something.
Well, how weird is this, though, that he's not showed up? Like, he's not even done a Zoom call to say, hey, here's me, you know. Hold up today's newspaper so we can see the date and know you're really alive, sir.
Well, you know, I mean, he may not be alive. You know, he's been brain dead since day one. That's when they should have pulled the 25th on him back then.
Well, it's even obvious that even since he took office, the stress of the office has worn him down to a nub. I mean, what little we saw of him back in 2020 is not even there now. But the fact that he's not present leads me to believe that there's more going on right now. I think the stress of stepping down has just caused him to capitulate.
I don't know if he's had any stress or not. You don't stress out if you don't even know what's going on. You know what I mean? But hey, you know, if Kamala has to debate Trump, if she's the nominee, can you picture? You know, I think what they're going to have to do is call up Garrett Morris. You remember the old Saturday Night Lives? Whenever not yet ready for prime time players when Chevy Chase would read the news and Garrett Morris would sit up in the little window there and instead of signing, he'd be yelling, yeah, the news, you know, and stuff. Do you remember that?
I'd forgotten about that. Yeah.
Well, if Kamala and Trump have a debate, I think they're going to call up Garrett Morris to come in, and he's going to be in a little window upside on the side of the screen there, untossing her word salad so that everybody can understand what they're saying.
Well, what about the one, who was it that, The mayor of New York or somebody held a press conference and they had somebody got in there to be their hand signer and totally faked it like it was not didn't even know what they were doing. We're just winging their hands around and making all kinds of gestures. And I'm thinking that's about the way that it would be to try and interpret one of her speeches in the first place.
Well, what would you think you would have to do if you were signing what Kamala says? They just shrugged her shoulders and put her hands in the air.
I am in complete agreement. All right. So listen, what's your prediction, Jeff Rowe? Do you think Kamala is going to get the nomination?
I think she has to. Just because of the money. And then it's like I say, it's all politics for the Democrats is all, you know, it's not nothing to be, gosh dang it, put some words in my mouth, Phil. I can't say a thing. they're all, you know, identity politics. So, yeah. You can't knock a black woman out. That's the only reason why Obama hasn't did it, because he's the only one who can sit there and say, oh, I don't like Kamala, because he's you know, you can't call him a racist. So. Well, that's basically, he's the only one that can do that, I think.
Well, for about the fifth time today, I'm saying this is a fluid environment that we're in right now, so we'll just wait and watch and see where it goes. But, all right, man, listen, you're safe on the road. We're about to hit the air, hit the break time, but we will talk to you again shortly.
Have a good one, Phil.
All right, we'll see you, man.
Nashville.
All right, well, good luck. We'll see you, buddy. Bye. Right before the break, I'll tell you this. Jonathan Turley wrote a piece on the 25th Amendment, and he says it leaves a lingering question for this fall. Can Biden remain in office when he is incapable of running for the office? That's a fair question. That's a question that needs to be addressed in more detail, and we're not seeing that right now. He simply says it's for the best interest of the country. He says, by the way, Biden says he was withdrawing out of recognition he is no longer politically viable. Well, in Turley's words, that makes a mockery of the democratic process. Millions of people went through the primary elections to select him as their nominee. Now he would just be set aside, replaced by a vote of the party establishment. Like a shift in the Russian Politburo, he says. Second, he says, it could admit that Biden was, as stated for weeks in the media and figures by special counsel like Robert Hur, greatly diminished both mentally and physically, but that makes this withdrawal an admission that could trigger a fight under the 25th Amendment. The bottom line is this. He says, 25th Amendment was written for situations like this. But the lack of clarity and the lack of truthfulness makes this very difficult. And then the lack of scruples on the part of those who've worked with Biden all this time, who would suddenly have to be called on the carpet, because unless they're going to say that he capitulated and he just like had a massive crash in the last few days, they're going to have to admit basically, well, we held off doing this, but apparently we need to now. That's asking a lot. All right, I'll tell you about who just filed a plan for Harris to invoke the 25th Amendment in the last 24 hours as soon as we get back from this break. Take the break for us, Big Rig. We'll come right back. Keep it going. Coming up top of the hour, too, don't forget, John Wall, Chairman of the Republican Party, will be with us. Stay tuned. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making it cool to be a conservative, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, so the 25th Amendment, we're talking about it. And the Dems, they got some 25th trouble, y'all. Some 25th trouble. So keep in mind, by the way, that a recent survey that was done by Newsbusters put together a montage of over 600 times that the media aired the idea of using the 25th Amendment to get Trump. They did. Over 600 times they did that. Meanwhile, Biden can't tie his own shoes, but they won't say it. But the Federalist came out with a piece just last night, actually. Says Democrats successfully launched a soft coup against President Biden. By the way, that's the term I just used. I did. I wrote a piece that came out in 1819 News this morning. I used it in a monologue last week about the soft coup. Anyway, Democrats safely launched a soft coup against President Joe Biden after his senility became a political liability, with Biden announcing he would no longer seek the party's nomination. But if Biden cannot run for office due to severe cognitive decline displayed during the debate, then dropping out of the nomination process is not enough. If Biden is too senile to run for president, he's too senile to be the president. I agree with this. And the whole premise of this goes on to talk about the fact that you're in a position right now where the 25th Amendment requires the invocation if the president is, quote, unable to carry out basic presidential duties. Now, there's a lot of speculation out there, and I'm real careful to just jump on stuff. But Charlie Kirk, who's usually pretty solid, has tweeted out today that he's hearing from sources that there had been an effort to get Biden to the hospital and that was not followed up on, that they had medical treatment for him on Air Force One, and that's why he went straight to Air Force One and walked slowly up the stairs, that they had been clearing the roads to get him to a hospital for some reason. I don't know. All I know is this. We're in a position right now where we haven't seen the president in days. somebody on his staff sent out a tweet saying he will no longer run for president. The vice president is like, whoop, whoop, I'm the one now. And she's running around doing her thing when the question is, who's in charge? Who's running the country right now? The staff? I mean, who's in there? Mayor Pete? Somebody's got to be like at the helm. And yet the vice president is running about making sure that everybody knows that she's the one, and she's, you know, already making campaign trips and, you know, checking her bank book. The president's nowhere to be seen. I would assume they've got like the, you know, designated survivor hanging out somewhere in a bunker doing something. South Carolina Representative Nancy Mace. I pulled this off of South Carolina local news WSAV. On Sunday, following Biden dropping out of the 2024 election, South Carolina Representative Nancy Mace announced in a statement that she would be filing paperwork to have Vice President Harris invoke the 25th Amendment. Now, I don't know that she can do that. They could certainly urge, they could pass a resolution. But Mace also posted images which states in part, calling on Vice President Kamala Harris to convene and mobilize the principal offices of the executive departments of the cabinet to activate Section 4 of the 25th Amendment. What she's basically saying is, hey, Vice President, quit campaigning and do your job. If he's not able to run, if he's not able to be the guy, then you don't have any choice. The statesman view is this is what you do. It's what you do. By the way, the rest of the world's watching. All right, keep in mind, coming up right at the top of the hour break, we're going to have John Wall, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. He's one of 50 people like him in the nation who chairs a statewide Republican Party establishment. He just got back from the most amazing RNC convention and then walks in the door. I'm sure he's just dropping his bags off when all of a sudden, you know, Biden announces he's withdrawing. I want to get his perspective as a national leader, really, in the Republican Party. G.I. Joe from Birmingham texts in. He says, Phil, if campaign funds can't be used, what happens to them? And then, Phil, Obama's running the show. Maybe. And by the way, the funds, I talked about that earlier. The funds can only be used that were raised for Biden-Harris can only be used by a Biden or Harris. Other than that, they lose the ability to use them. But she's raised new money for her own campaign, and she'll be able to access the $91 million they already had. So apparently she now has $160 million, $170 million to work with. That's pretty epic. That's a good bit of money. Rat from Athens says, if Kamala's on her way to Delaware, I bet Joe's gone. What do you think her first executive order will be? Who knows? Well, her first one has to be picking a new vice president, to be confirmed, by the way. James from St. Clair County says, anyone notice Biden withdrew on National Ice Cream Day? I heard that.
I have the meme for that. I saved it last night.
Did you really?
Yeah. He's like eating an ice cream cone.
Oh, my gosh. It's awfulness. Awfulness. All right, listen. We're taking a break. We're coming right back. John Wall, chairman of Alabama Republican Party, will be on the line. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios, man. We got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, listen, in an effort to keep us up to date on all the latest happenings, we get the right people in here to talk about stuff. Well, a guy who's been in the thick of the stuff is John Wall, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, who just had a weekend where the nominee, I mean, he's one of 50 people that have a job like his, and he just watched the nominee get an assassination attempt, survive an assassination attempt. Then he went through the most incredible Republican National Convention maybe in history. And then he had the Democrat nominee resign. It's a fluid environment, and John Wall's on the phone right now. Chairman John Wall, how you doing? John, you there? Did we lose him? John Wall. All right.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
There he is. Yeah, we got you. We got you back now.
Doing well. Good to be on the show, and you've forgotten that list of things, international problem with flights is all my delegates are trying to get home from Milwaukee. So a fun week politically.
Yeah, so the conspiracy theory just ramped up another notch. I'm just saying. Well, so listen, let me just, I tell you what, before I go any further, let me just get your perspective on the amount of, like, the wind burn you must have from watching the winds of change happen around you every day.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's incredible. I especially that assassination attempt. You know, I was sitting at a desk in Milwaukee working on the convention, and I got a phone call from another one of my staff or another state chairman or something. They're like, John, turn on the TV. You know, as I watched that, I really realized just what we are facing right now.
Yeah. This is a
time in history that our country, as a country, I don't think we have ever seen this situation quite to this extent, where you have an assassination attempt and then a major party pulling their nominee the next week. Folks, you are watching history, and this is going to be an election year that goes down for the rest of our country's life.
It really is, man. I mean, you signed up for it. Did you have any idea to be like this? Good Lord.
I don't think anybody could. I'll tell you, I was doing an interview on Biden pulling out. And I was like, look, what you're seeing here, because this was not Biden pulling out. Let's be clear.
Yeah.
This was the Democrat machine, the elites within the Democrat Party, pushing Biden out. He didn't want to leave. He did not want this to happen. But the Democrat Party, they don't work bottom up, grassroots. They work top down, and they pushed him out. And I think this is what highlights what we've been saying as a whole, as a Republican Party. These, and I'm just going to call them globalists. I don't know what name you want to use. These deep state bureaucrats, globalists, whatever. They are so desperate to hold on to power that they will do anything to keep themselves in control.
Yeah. Well, that's,
and it, you know, goes back to the lies they spread about Donald Trump, the Russian hoax, Move Forward, the court cases weaponizing the justice system. And now when all of that has failed, now they're going after their own in a desperate attempt to try to save this thing and be able to hold on to power this November.
It really boggles the mind, you know, and I look at it and think, first of all, the you can smell the desperation from a mile away, but Kamala is not necessarily, now she got the late breaking endorsement, because if you noticed, Biden didn't endorse her in the first tweet. It was a second tweet that did the endorsement. But they say she's raised a lot of money in the last 24 hours. And is she going to be the nominee? But what's her process? I mean, how are they going to do this? And by the way, John, how are they going to do this in compliance with state laws that require the ballots to be changed by a certain date?
Well, okay, so that's a great question right there, because, you know, everybody's thinking about the Democratic National Convention coming up, after, you know, end of August. But that is not the deadline we're really looking at here. Before Biden dropped out, the DNC was saying they were going to hold a virtual roll call and make their nomination the first week in August. Do we see that continue? Because if they miss that deadline, we're not going to see a Democrat presidential candidate on the ballot in Ohio.
No.
So there's a lot of questions still that have to be answered by the DNC, by the Democrats, of are they going to move forward with the virtual roll call? I think they have to. Otherwise, they just take themselves off the ballot in several states, which is just going to be a train wreck for the Democrat Party.
Well, yeah, like a bigger train wreck, like the rest of the cars go off the track.
Yeah, so like the train is already off the track, but this basically rolls it off a cliff.
Well, so all right. So, what is their process? Do you know? And I realize you're the chairman of the Republican Party in Alabama, but what are they going to hold a Zoom call to get this done? Because that is a bit. I mean, a lot of folks don't realize that it's not just election day. There's the prep time in advance to get all the ballots ready, because even the absentee ballots, and for the states who do early voting, those have to be done, typically speaking, a couple of months in advance at a minimum.
No, that's correct. And different states have different laws in place. And you're correct. You know, as a Republican, we have our act together. We're not facing these questions. But a good adversary knows what his opponent has to do and knows the field. So yes, to answer your question, there's two or three states that their election laws say that the nominee of that party has to be submitted and recognized officially by the nominating process by a date in mid-August before the Democrats' convention, which means in order for the Democrat nominee to appear on the ballot in these states, Ohio being the biggest and, you know, the most noteworthy, in order for the Democrat nominee to be on the ballot, they will have to do a virtual roll call before that time frame. And that's why they were looking at the first week of August. I know that originally they were looking at August 6th or 7th for a possible virtual call to do that roll call and nominate. I think they're going to have to try to stay on track with that. So I think we will see a virtual call unless, and this is the big question mark, what do they do if Kamala Harris over the next week or two doesn't meet their expectations? Yeah. Maybe she's not performing better in the polls. I'm not taking out the table. We're dealing with ruthless people here. I'm not taking out the table that we could see a third person enter into this. I don't think Kamala has this locked up by any means.
Well, that's the question I think that's out there. And here's one of the things, and we're spitballing. I know that. I know this is like speculation. But if a whistleblower comes forward and says that his health was such a crisis in the White House and everybody knew it, and Kamala refused to invoke the 25th because of fear of what it would do to her career, I think that crushes her campaign.
Well, I agreed. And look, I think we all know that somehow that debate performance caught the mainstream media off guard. The vast majority of Americans, and I'll be willing to say the pretty much all of us Republicans, we knew to the extent that Joe Biden was suffering. Like this was not a surprise for us. And so, yeah, it becomes a question. If all of a sudden you don't think Joe Biden is fit to run for office, well, has he been fit to serve over the last few years? And the answer is probably no.
Yeah.
And Kamala Harris's problems go deeper than that, though, because the reason Joe Biden is slipping in the polls is not because he's old. It's not because of his debate performance. It's not because of anything like that. It's because of the failure of his policies.
Well, it is.
Whether that's the border, national security, safety, keeping our community safe, the woke indoctrination of our children. And Kamala Harris has been, as his vice president, has been integral in every single one of those issues.
No,
so
I'm
not sure the American people react any better to her.
I don't know that they will either. And that's the thing we're going to have to watch is we're going to have to stay on message. The message right now is not to get tied up in the personalities, but to stay on the policies, because no matter who they put in place, it's the policies that are going to make the difference. And we're running against the policies. And she was tied to the policies. Well, listen,
that's,
man.
That's absolutely right. Like she is the Biden administration. Like she is part of that Biden administration that has completely failed the American public.
Well, listen, man, on a more positive note, you had quite the week. Give us a few minutes. We got about 2 or 3 minutes left here. Give us a little bit of breakdown of what it was like to be in your position as a state party chair at one of the most incredible Republican national conventions maybe in history.
Well, they tell me it was great. My memory's a little fuzzy because I didn't get like any downtime or much sleep. No, it was really an incredible experience. The programming during the RNC at night, as well as the events that you know we hosted. You know, as chairman of the Southern Region for the RNC, as well as being the party chairman, had a Southern Region event at American Family Field. A lot of great guests there. A lot of Southern governors, senators. You know, I did some stuff with Vivek Ramaswamy and some. Probably my favorite moment of the convention, for me personally, was getting in a little bit of a humorous spat with Nigel Farage.
Oh, really?
He came to an event that I was hosting, and as I was introducing him, I made the mistake of mentioning the vision of our founding fathers and quoting them. And so I looked over and I was like, "My apologies, sir, for quoting American founding fathers to an Englishman," which sparked a fun back and forth with him over the monarchy versus the American Constitution. But a great week. I don't think you can, you know, when I think back to the speeches we saw and the heartfelt things we heard from Trump's family, from his granddaughter, from Laura Trump talking about how her watching Donald Trump as a grandfather, his grandchildren having to watch that footage of him getting shot at that rally, like just the emotions with that, and then take that all the way to the other side of the emotional spectrum, listening to Tucker Carlson, and one of my personal favorite speakers of the event, Hulk Hogan, and his energy. Just what an experience.
I mean, we kind of ran the gamut, didn't we? Hulk Hogan, Tucker Carlson, Mike Pompeo, Franklin Graham, Kid Rock. I mean, wow.
You had it all. I told the Trump team after that. I ran into one of Trump's senior advisors in the elevator Thursday night, and I said, whoever made the call to put Hulk Hogan and Franklin Graham back-to-back, I don't know whether they should be fired or given a raise, but that was a fascinating back-to-back in the speaking order.
Well, I heard that Hulk Hogan actually accepted Christ and was baptized not long ago, so maybe he and Franklin Graham got along pretty well in the backstage. Who knows?
Hopefully so, yes. Well, and both those gentlemen gave an incredible performance. I shouldn't even performance. They both spoke from their heart in a very different style.
Spoke
from their heart at what our country is facing and what's really at stake here.
Well, we got a ways to go. I mean, I think it's real clear that the Democrats are in disarray, but we cannot take anything for granted. We got to run like scalded dogs for 100 days.
No, that's absolutely right. And the Democrats are going to come together, whoever it is, whether it's Kamala Harris or whether it's someone else, after they officially nominate their candidate. They're going to come together. The mainstream media is going to come on board. And we are at the high water mark now. They will be pushing hard and gaining ground the entire time. And so I think you're right. It's incredibly important. This is not one. This is still a battle. And they're going to be unified, and they're going to be vicious. They will not stop at anything to win this race.
More to come. Listen, we need to have you on the show a few times between now and the election just to make sure we stay up with all the fluidity of the events. All right?
I'll look forward to it. Always good to be on the show.
All right. Thanks. John Wall, Chairman, Alabama Republican Party. We appreciate you and what you do. We'll have you back on soon. All right. Wow. That's just, he was in the thick of things, man. That's very cool. All right. Listen, we got a great show still going. Y'all stay tuned. We got more. I'm going to take some text messages and then take us into the what did they say section. Like, what are people around Alabama, around the region, around the nation, around the world saying about the announcement about Joe Biden? I'll tell you all about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just slinging some truth bombs out there. So let me go to the phones real quick. Is that Brian? Brian from Huntsville's on the line. Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Doing relatively well. And I got a serious question.
All right.
Edith Wilson over Woodrow Wilson when he was incapacitated.
Yeah.
Unspeakable tweet is kind of like somebody passing a note beyond the door saying, this is what my husband wanted. I'm wondering if Congress subpoena either Jill Biden and or Kamala to come out, actually physically say what the president's health is.
Well, I would think so, too, that now the Fox News is reporting that Biden's physician just announced that, here's the headline, White House physician gives update on the president's health after Biden was pushed out. And this is a story that came out as of the last hour or two, I believe. Yeah, 2 hours ago. But listen, the whole thing is still shady as all get out. And he's bound to, you know, doctor patient privilege and medical confidentiality. And so if there's more going on and just not saying it, that's possible.
But Jill, it might be protected by spousal type things, but
it the whole thing's a mess. But the reality is you're right about the Edith Wilson passing a note through the door saying the president's fine, don't worry. I mean, this is the tweet is the equivalent of that. And technically you look at it and go, okay, unless this is COVID has really got him worn out, like it's a bad case, most of the times it's a common cold. How about you just go ahead and put on a suit and sit in front of a Zoom camera and say, hey folks, I'm still isolating, but I wanted to talk to you personally. He could do that, I would think.
Well, Colonel Phil, if it's like me, it's just getting to be old age that does it for me.
Yeah, well.
You have a good one, sir.
See you, man. Yeah, the whole thing's a mess. And I just saw where U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville just tweeted out. Let's see if I can find it again real quick. I've already moved past it. But he just tweeted out that basically the president needs to show himself to the nation like ASAP. And it's yes, he does. Text messages. John from Huntsville says, Phil, if Kamala Harris becomes a Democrat nominee, I think she'll pick Pete Buttigieg. I do too. That's my number one. I think she will. Jeff from Indiana. Hey, Phil, isn't it ironic when talking to you about someone's mental incognability and my thought train completely derails? That's Jeff from Indiana. No, man, you were still on. Listen, you're driving and watching Nashville traffic. I got no questions about your concern, your mental health. Paul from Decatur says, here's a what if. What if one of our enemies try to take a pot shot at us while they figure out who's in the White House? Who will control this country's military and retaliate against an attack? Well, the National Command Authority has layered protection on there. There's this thing called the Continuity of Operations, the COOP plan, that specifies who makes certain decisions at certain levels and in certain crises. Now, they're allowed to have, you know, immediate capabilities to some degree, but your point is still well taken. Wouldn't we like to have the assurances that there is someone at the helm? Anyway, more on that. Senator Manchin's on the news right now. I'll tell you about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned.